Welcome to the Stronger Marriage Podcast, where we are in part two of talking about some financial issues and things that we struggled with early in our marriage.
Welcome, everybody.
Last week we were talking about the fact that this was a major struggle for us as a young couple and some things that we dealt with. And if you didn't catch part one, you're going to want to go back and see if you can't catch part one. We're going to pick up with point number four on some things that have helped us financially over the past 33 years of marriage. If you remember, number one was don't spend more than you make. Number two was life isn't about money. It's about relationships. So don't spend more on things that don't matter when relationships do. And then finally, we talked about don't make purchases, major purchases without talking them over.
Right, which leads us into number four, which is communicate with your spouse about money, about your bills, about your finances. You both need to be on the same page. You need to sit down and figure out, you know, what's important in the budget to both of you. You just got to make sure you're on the same page and communicate about it.
Yeah, maybe you need to have a sit down talk with your spouse on, hey, we feel like we need to get out of debt, or maybe we just need to pay some bills off, or we need to quit spending. And your spouse may not be crazy with that idea, and you really need both of y'all on board with it. But it needs to be a communication about money, about bills, about finances. You can't, you know, we're going to talk in a second that you can't hide things from one another. And so y'all really need to be, and we really needed to be, on the same page about this. Lee was the one that paid the bills, and she's the one that kept up with the finances in marriage and still does. And so she had that set down talk with me of, hey, we've got some problems that we need to address on credit cards, and I was willing to listen, and because it was something that was on her heart, it was something that I took to be very serious too.
That's right. It was causing a lot of stress, and so anytime, you know, your spouse comes to you with anything that's causing them, you know, stress or worry or an issue, be willing to listen and to communicate about it. Don't just blow them off and say, you're making a big deal out of nothing.
Yeah, that is true. So communication with your spouse on this is going to be really, really important. And let's look at number five. Don't hide purchases from your spouse. That's really a form of dishonesty.
Very much.
When you hide things from your spouse that you have purchased and you don't want them to know, you shouldn't hide anything from your spouse. But definitely don't hide purchases. If you're having to hide something, you probably shouldn't have bought it or done it, whatever
it
is.
That's right. You know, if you set a budget and it's kind of a tight budget and you splurge on something that wasn't in the budget and your spouse notices, and says, oh, I see you got new shoes. Don't say, oh, I've had these things in the closet forever. I just pulled them out. I hadn't worn them in forever. You know, I mean, that is total dishonesty.
It is a form of dishonesty. So you cannot hide purchases from your spouse. Talk that over. If you're in a payoff mode where you're trying to get some stuff out of debt, talk over every little purchase that you make. Make sure that you're not spending more than you should. But talk about those things. But definitely don't be dishonest on things, especially on purchases. But don't hide those things from your spouse. Don't buy that new tool. Don't upgrade that cell phone. Did I not tell you I upgraded this? Boy, I thought we talked about it. All of those things are not healthy for your marriage.
That's right. And remember, it's not going to last forever. You know, if you work hard for a set amount of time, you know, set a goal that we want to be out of, we want to have this paid off, or where you need to communicate. You either need to say, we just want to have this one certain thing paid off, or we're going to get totally out of debt. But, you know, set a realistic goal of how long that should take, and just realize it's not going to be a lifelong thing. You're not always going to be struggling, you know.
Yeah.
And on a tight budget.
And sometimes you need to sit down and look at, maybe it's not something you owe a lot on, but maybe it's your highest interest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at, hey, I've got three things I'm making payments on, and this one is costing us the most in interest. And you need to go, hey, we're going to take extra funds that we have and pay on this one to get it paid off, because that one's costing us the most. interest wise. Maybe you need to look at visiting with someone who, a CPA who can talk to you or a bank about refinancing something. Maybe mm-hmm. you took a loan on a car or a house, refinance a house. We did a refinance on a house a while back. It was a pain in the rear, but it was worth every drop because it saved us a ton of money.
It did. It really did.
Got a much, much lower finance rate. And so those are struggles, but mm-hmm. anything you can do to save some money, yeah, do it.
Exactly. Anytime you can lower some interest rate on anything, it's going to be worth the hassle of doing it. It really is.
If you're using credit cards, which is going to be our next point in a second, and if you're carrying a balance on those, you probably need to find a different card that is going to have a lower interest while you're trying to get those paid off. Mm-hmm. And is it a pain to move, fill out all the paperwork and move money from one credit card to the other card and things, balance transfers? Yes, it is. But if you can lower your interest rate, it's worth doing it.
It is. You've got to be very disciplined when you do that. As soon as you close out one card, you need to cut that sucker up and close out that account so that you're not tempted to, then you're stuck and you've got two cards and two accounts and you're going to get yourself in trouble again. So, yeah, be careful.
Number six on this list, and really is a big one for us, is refuse to use credit cards. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't have the discipline to use credit cards, if you're going to use a credit card, pay it off the amount each month. That's our rules.
Yes.
Anything we put on a card has got to be paid off. And we didn't do that early, young in marriage. And we probably had, I actually don't remember, two or three cards with some balance that probably totaled about $8,000 and was not healthy. It was not good. It caused stress to my wife. And she said, we've got to get out of debt. And we worked hard to do that.
Yeah. And the thing about it was, we didn't understand that it was, our balance was just growing every month because we were only making the minimum payment.
On about 24% interest cards at the time.
The interest was so high that we weren't getting ahead in any way.
Had we made the minimum payments on those cards, and this would have been the 90s, we would still be making minimum payments on those cards today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if we would have never put anything else on them because we were never going to get out of debt paying the minimum on that.
I wish I would have brought, I saved a credit card statement from a few months back when we put a trip that we were taking and we put it on the credit card and we'd saved up for it. And of course we paid it off as soon as the bill came, but I found it interesting, at the bottom, it kind of gave all the explanation and it was like, if you pay the minimum amount, it will take you 16 years. I can't remember what the figures were, but I wish I would have brought that.
It was ridiculous.
It was a ridiculous amount of time to pay off, a trip that we went on. And that's if we'd never put any more money on that card ever. That was just if we made the minimum payment on that purchase, it was going to take that long to pay that off. And
yeah,
so it's just, woo. And it said how much we would end up paying for it, which was a crazy amount of money.
Yeah. And that happens with more than just credit cards.
Yeah.
You do that all the time with rent-to-own things. You do that with the other day on our little community buy-sell trade. There was somebody who had made a post and from another town and said, hey, buy our shed. This is a nice shed. And for $24.99 a month, you can have this delivered to you. And it didn't say how much it was, mm-hmm. but at $24.99 a month to pay that off, I did some figuring and asked them, I said, what's the cash price on this? If I just want to pay cash, I didn't want a shed. I just was curious. And so I put in a comment, what's the cash price on this? And they told me, and basically you were going to pay twice as much for the shed. You could buy two sheds for the price of the one shed you were going to pay mm-hmm. by paying $24.99 a month or whatever it was.
Yeah. And so,
I asked that comment because I wanted people to see,
to
understand what you're getting into when you're paying $24.99 a month or whatever it was.
Yeah. And so the problem is we are impatient people. And when we decide we want something, we want it right now. And we're willing to do that. We're willing to just spend a small amount and end up paying twice as much because we think we have to have it right now instead of being disciplined and, saving up for that. We just, you'd be so much better off if you can, put $24.99 or whatever, $30 in your savings account every month until you have enough to buy that. And you know, you'll end up paying a whole lot less for it than if you put make payments.
Be cautious about the credit card thing. And if you can't handle it, there's people we know that they buy everything on credit cards and then they pay it off each month so that they can get points. But we also know couples that have said, we're going to do that. And 3 months into this, they didn't pay off their balance. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you knew, they were $3,000-$4,000 in the hole.
Yeah.
And so if you can't handle the credit card thing, get rid of it. There was a time in our marriage, the early thousands, do you call them thousands, 2000s? 2000 to probably 2004 or five, we didn't even own a credit card.
Yeah.
We did everything with a debit card. And then we decided we're disciplined enough now we can own a card. We got a card. We made a rule that said if we don't pay the balance off each month, we'll cut it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a credit card that we use for online purchases for safety's sake. That's what we use ours for. We don't use our debit card for that, for things like that. But we pay it off each month. And so be cautious about that. And man, I've got stories about trying to call companies going, I want to cancel my... Well, why would you want to cancel? You can just keep it open for free. Just don't... It's like, we don't want it. We want you to cancel this. And it's just absolutely crazy, the credit card companies that... We probably get two or three or four a week credit cards going, hey, open a card with us and we'll give you $75 cash transfer your balance.
Oh, yeah. All kinds of airline miles or whatever it is.
Our kids, our kids, when they turn 16, 17, start getting credit. We actually did not let our children have a credit card until they turned 21. We didn't see a need for it. So we were really cautious and told them, hey, you don't need a card. I'm not sure that two of them even have a card today other than the debit card.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think you're right. So they're just, they can really get you in trouble if you're not disciplined with them.
Yep, that is exactly right. Exactly right. Let's go on.
Okay, number 7, educate yourself by attending a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace class. That was excellent for us. We did his 12-week course.
We actually bought the book.
We read the book along with it.
Yeah, and really focused on that and watched some videos. And churches in your area, probably if you'll get on and look up Financial Peace, there are churches in your area offering that class. And it will help you do that.
And there's some accountability because you're doing it with another group of people, you know, that are also wanting some accountability. And you come together each week and watch these videos and have some discussion time together. So it just kind of gives you a little bit of a community to know, hey, we can do this. You can encourage each other through it. And then when the 12 weeks are over, you can kind of keep holding each other accountable.
Sure.
So it's,
and,
it's a good thing.
And Dave Ramsey will teach you some other things that a lot of people don't understand. Like we are not whole life people. We are term life insurance. He taught us how to save and put stuff aside, how to save our money into the financial world to where we can build up enough to where we can retire someday and things like that. So it's not just about getting out of debt. It's also how to save and what's best when it comes to insurances and what to buy, what not to buy, things like that.
That's
so
right.
There's a lot of good stuff. Emergency funds are good. He's a big thing on that.
Mm-hmm.
It is a blessing to have an emergency fund that you only use for emergencies. And we had one last year or the year ago.
They will happen. They will happen. Yes.
We found out we owed some taxes that we were not expecting to pay, and they were $4,000 or $5,000. Just out of the blue, and it's like, whoa, where did that come from? On top of some other taxes, and thankfully we had an emergency fund.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We didn't put it on a credit card or anything like that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, some of our kiddos have had to use their emergency fund just within the last week. They had their hot water heater went out.
Yep.
They had an air conditioner go out in a vehicle. Which is thankfully, you know, I think it's been going out for several months, but it's like, it's getting warm and it's time to fix it. And so, they were very thankful that they had saved up some money, to get those things fixed without causing them, you know, a financial burden.
That's so. Exactly right. So,
yes.
Yeah. So be cautious about those things. Let's look at number 8. This is really important, especially, well, you're married because you're listening to our podcast, but set aside some money for some fun things, even to do as a couple, mm-hmm. even while you're trying to pay off some bills and get out of debt. Still go on a date. Maybe you can choose, instead of the big fancy dinner that's going to cost you $70-$80, right. maybe you can go to a place that's going to cost you $30 or $40,
mm-hmm.
or a drive-through menu.
That's right.
Go you can eat off a dollar menu.
Go on a picnic.
Yeah.
Yeah, dates, we preach it all the time. Dates don't have to be expensive.
They don't.
But you just need that time together. Yep.
Just make sure you're investing in your marriage, too. You're going to invest in financial things so that you can have a savings. You need to be investing in your marriage, and you need to be saving some money for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
We visited with a couple the other day that was in the payoff debt mode. I mean, every penny they had was going to this, and they said, we just don't think we can come to your workshop because that will cost us. And I told them, I said, no, you got this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes, pay off debt, but your marriage is more important than you getting your debt paid off. You want to invest in your marriage. And so if you have to pay for a hotel room one night and a tank of gas, you come on, because your marriage is more important than you getting a debt paid off 1 month early.
Right.
So make sure you keep your priorities straight.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? So we just want you to understand, you continue to set aside a little bit of money.
Yes. Number 9 is strive to live debt-free. Strive to live debt-free. It just makes your marriage relationship so much less stressful. If you don't have the money to just pay for it right then, don't buy it.
Don't sit on it.
Buy it. Save up for it until you've got the money for it. But if you can live debt-free, now we realize that
there's going to be mortgages.
You know, you've got a mortgage, and you will for probably 30 years at least. But yeah, there are ways, you know, you can drive a car, you can pay off a car and drive it for 10 years. That's the nicest feeling, to drive a vehicle that's paid off.
Yeah,
and not
my
make
friend,
payments.
Can I tell you about my friend Dan Chambers?
Yes.
Dan Chambers drives a, Dan Chambers has got a good job.
Mm-hmm.
His job pays him good money. His wife has a good job.
Yes.
Her job pays her good money. They both drive vehicles that are 12 to 15 years old. They're 12 to 15 years old,
mm-hmm.
with lots of miles on them. And people go, Dan, why are you driving that old junker? And he just goes, well, that's because last month I got back from England, or I got
mm-hmm.
back from Switzerland, or I got back from another trip to Israel, or I got back from the Grand Canyon. They're always going. They're always taking these amazing trips, but they're choosing to spend money in the right place.
Yeah, they have made that decision for themselves. They're empty nesters. They're at a time when they can try. And they did it when their kids were young at home, too. I mean, they took their kiddos to places.
Drove junk cars. They chose to not drive the nicest.
And their kids even said, why do we drive? You know, they would see what their friends' parents drove, and they were like, why do we drive junker cars? It's so embarrassing. And they were like, do you not want to go to Germany like we did last year? And they would say, okay, we get your point. We want the trips. Because those were fun family times. And man, what memories and what things that
nobody's going to remember in 30 years. Now, was that a Ford Taurus we drove?
Right.
But they will remember the trip to Germany.
Yes.
So there are things that are much more important in life.
Those are just decisions that you have to make for yourself and for your family.
Yeah.
But just, yeah, to live debt-free is just what we want to really talk about and focus on today. So hopefully you're trying to do that. We feel like you've got some interest in it, or you probably wouldn't be listening to this today. But we are all about giving you practical tips. And so we've got a few minutes. We just thought we would give you some practical tips about how you can actually, you know, maybe make some cutbacks on your budget if you're, you know, setting a budget and trying to do this. Sometimes it's about what we can do without, more than making extra money. You know, we think, well, we got to make extra money if we're going to pay things off. No, usually it's just more, what can we cut back on and what can we do without?
Yeah, because if you work an extra job, you're going to miss out on more family stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you need to look at not how you can make extra money, but maybe you need to look at, what can I cut out right now? What can I live without?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that's really, really important. Like, Don't eat out.
Yeah.
There's a point. Don't, maybe once a week.
Yeah. We mentioned that last week, but that was a big one for us. We were spending too much money eating out and, you know, we kind of just, yeah, budget for it. And we would go maybe once a week. It was a treat to get to eat out.
Cost a lot to take a family of six out to eat.
It did. And when we did eat out, we ordered water.
Oh yeah.
Hear me well, people. If you are ordering soft drinks and alcoholic beverages when you eat out, you are blowing your budget.
Yeah. We one time went to Applebee's and we got our bill and I remember thinking, how is it this month? I mean, because we were on a budget, we had a family of six, and I looked and we had $18 worth of Cokes and soda pops, whatever you want to call them. $18 worth on there because everybody wanted to have one. And I told my kids right then, they were all little, I said, guys, we will continue to eat out, but we will never, ever order drinks again. Mm-hmm. It is water from here on. And that's today. We go out as a family. And when the waitress comes or waiter comes to the table and says, all right, so what do you want me to start you out on drinks? Somebody will always say, we'll save you some time. It's going to be water for everybody.
That's right.
Our boys still know that.
They do. And you know, I mean, you just think, well, that's silly. That's $18. No big deal. Well, if we had said we're going to eat out once a week, you know, the six of us, that's $18. If you do that every, you know, once a week, four times a week, that's $80 a month. You're looking at $80 that you spent on soft drinks. I'm sorry. That's just...
That was for us. My wife's frugal, but I was the same way when I realized how much we were paying on soft drinks.
Give me on my soapbox. You can pay off a lot of bills with that
money. Yeah, stop them sodies.
So what I had to do, since we had decided not to eat out very often, was I had a meal plan. And I had to, you know, at the first part of the week, I had to literally plan a menu. This is what we're having for supper each night. And I would make grocery lists. You know, kids need this, this, and this for lunches, whatever it was, snacks. You go to the grocery store and you buy just what you need for the week. You don't just start throwing stuff in the basket. But when you meal plan, it really keeps you from, like, you know, you're prepared for the week. And it's not, you know, the evening rolls around. It's like, what's for dinner? Oh, I don't have anything planned. Let's just go grab some burgers. It keeps you from doing that. It keeps you from eating out when you know that you've got stuff in there to fix.
And maybe you have a different family member that's in charge of supper that night.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's sandwiches, whatever it is, you know, the kids, the husband, the wife, everybody takes their turn at being, this is your night. What are we having?
What do we want to have? But yeah, meal plan ahead of time. That's huge when you're trying to save money. And you can find, man, now you can look up budget-friendly recipes and just find tons of, you know, budget-friendly, family-friendly recipes. So,
yep.
There you go.
Can I give you another one?
Give us.
We cut the cable. We cut the cord is what it, is it called cut the cord or cut the cable? We cut the something. We cut the cable a while back and we decided no more high DirecTV, Dish, that sort of thing. YouTube TV was too much. We already had Amazon Prime because we order stuff from Amazon, so we watch stuff on Amazon.
Right.
We have Netflix, and those two are a fraction of the cost of the others. And if there's something on a Paramount or a something on a, I can't even think of some of the other ones, a Hulu,
yeah,
that we just really, really, really want to watch, we'll turn them on for a month and we'll watch what we want to watch and then we turn them back off.
Yeah.
So it's not like we don't have 14 different little cable things going at one time, right, and not watching them.
Because you think, if we're that's not, just $8 a month. That's just, but they add up. And so if you've got four or five different ones, maybe you need to think, okay, which... Let's just have two. Let's figure out which two we want.
And we get Hallmark. We get the Hallmark channel every year about November. and every year about December the 30th, I turn it off because I'm not going to pay for months when we're not looking at that. So when some of them Hallmark movies come out, we're watching those. And then we're turning it off. And so cut that cord, cut that cable on that. And so that's a good idea.
That's right. And I'll tell you another thing that you're good at staying on top of for us is making sure, you know, like our, if our... What am I trying to say? Our internet bill goes up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden one month it's gone up $15 a month. And I'm like, our bill went up. And he will call and he will bargain with them. And he can nearly always...
Sorry.
can nearly always lower our bill, you know, at least back down where it was. So be aware of that.
So many of those people, yeah. those companies will negotiate.
Yeah.
The internet bill the other day, I called and said, hey, I can get on as a new customer cheaper than I can pay what I'm paying now. So I need to cancel and then I will just resubscribe as a new customer. And they said, oh, don't do that. That's too much work for us. And they lowered it back where it was.
Right. Yeah. So stay on top of those things. Don't just accept it when you get, you know, when your bill goes higher. You try to negotiate those back down. Now we said, you know, this is not about trying to make more money, but we've all got junk laying around the house and the garage and the closets and the cabinets and the drawers. Clean out and have a garage sale.
Yeah. And then use that to pay off debt, not to buy something else.
No. But, you know, if you make $250 on your garage sale, sock that on, you know, a high interest mortgage or whatever it is you're trying to pay off.
Yeah.
So I think we mentioned that last week that, you know, any little bit that you can pay extra on your principal, on your mortgage or anything that you've got, pay a little bit extra than, you know, your minimum payment is X amount of dollars, pay $30 extra and apply that to principal and you will slash
cut months off.
You will. Yeah. Just that's the secret to cutting off some of that. So
all right, that last one. Mm-hmm. Last one that you can do to save some money you're really good at, and that is
Try shopping at resale shops. You don't have to always have, you know, brand new things right off the rack. First of all, when we were on a really small budget, we pretty well just didn't buy a lot of new clothes and shoes and stuff like that anyway. Now, we realized, you know, kiddos were going to outgrow things, and we had to make sure that was in the budget. I'm sorry. He's making me laugh.
Sorry about that. That's my job.
We had to make sure that, you know, when they outgrew shoes or whatever, that was in the budget. But for the most part, you know, he and I could go without for, you know, we didn't have to have the latest, greatest stuff. But I love to shop at thrift stores and resale shops. And if I come across something, you know, a top for $2 or $3, it doesn't bother me at all to buy that at a resale shop. And I've been buying clothes for grandbabies lately at our local little thrift shop. And I'm telling you what. They look brand new. Some of them still have tags on them, and I'm paying like $1, you know, $1 for a top or a pair of pants or a cute little onesie or whatever. So if you've not ever tried that, give that a try. If you've got growing kids, especially because kids' clothes, you know, you can get those. They don't wear out real quick.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it never bothers me when you come in with all this stuff and I go, where did you get all this from? And you said, thrift shop, $7. And it's like, okay, I can live with that.
Yes. Yeah. So
pretty good deal.
Try that. But hopefully we've given you just a few tips to make you think about your finances and where you can make some cutbacks and how you can get some things paid off and be a little bit more stress-free.
Yep. Two things we'll throw out there real quick. And then we'd like to close today with a prayer asking God to bless our finances and things that we've got going on. Ada, Oklahoma, this month of March, Ada, Oklahoma, come spend a weekend with us. You're going to love it. And then also, we're going to be in Ella J, Georgia in April. You're going to want to come hang out with us in April. And if you joined us for the Intimacy Edition date night, where we talked recreational intimacy and emotional intimacy and things, what an awesome, awesome thing. Thank you for joining us for that. And so I think it'd be good if we close with this. This is actually a prayer. We like prayers that have been written out. We use them sometimes other than our own prayers. And this is one by...
this is from Marriage After God. I think we've mentioned them before. You can check them out, Marriage After God. But they, I'm on their email list and I get daily prayers from them about marriage and stuff that relates to marriage. And I thought this was excellent.
Yep. So I'm going to read this to everybody. Dear Lord, thank you for being our provider. Thank you for the money we have. We pray we would operate as a team to understand and take care of our money. We pray we would not let money or the love of money enter our hearts. We pray we refuse to let money become divisive conflicts in our relationship. Please help us to understand one another and to be in agreement with our money. Please help us to be intentionally frugal and thoughtful with our spending, as well as good savers. We pray we would also be generous with our money to those in need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thought that was a great prayer. Y'all have a blessed week. We will see y'all next week.
Bye, guys.